You know what? We've heard the phrase all in before. All in. I'm all in. Youth camp, our last year, our theme was all in. We had t-shirts that said all in. I'm all in. And this phrase, I Googled it. What does the phrase all in mean? Where did it come from? And actually, they use it quite a bit in gambling. Texas Hold'ems and that. You're all in. It means you put all your cards in. You put all your money in. You're all in at once on that hand. You're all in. And today, our title of our message is God's love is all in for us. All in. You know, God is all in for us in our lives. And all in means to be totally committed to do something. When that person playing those Texas Hold'em is all in, he puts everything he has in that hand. Everything, he's totally in. He's totally committed. He thinks he's going to win or she's going to win. Put everything they have in that cards. And God is totally committed in our lives. He's all in our lives. Have you ever lost something and couldn't find it? Quite a bit. The older we get, the more things we lose. Chase and I have been doing wood floors this week, and I'm always asking Chase, where's the measuring tape? You see the measuring tape? Where I sit down? Where did I sit down? Dad's right there. Dad's over there. You sit over there. Dad, I saw. I'm always losing the measuring tape, and he keeps me accountable. And we've all lost something. Maybe you lost something for many years, and you found it. We're going to read the parables of the lost sheep today, and the lost coin, and the lost son. I know you heard this before, but it's good to hear those parables about the lost things. Luke 15. So in your Bible, it's Luke 15. And I'll read it from the ASB. Verse 1 and 2. Now that all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And a little background knowledge. Who are these men and women? They were sinners and tax collectors here. Remember, tax collectors were the most hated group of their day, okay? These were Jews who worked the occupying Roman authority, all right, at custom posts and markets, harbors, borders, and charged their fellow Jews excessive amounts of tax, all right? They were, you know, the Roman Empire were occupying them, all right? And these Jews kind of like sold out. They went to work for the Roman government, and they were collecting the taxes on the Jewish citizens. And they were always taking a little extra for themselves, right? And so these people were despised. They were hated, these tax collectors. How do you do your people this way? You know, and do this and steal from us, your own people. And they were hated. And of course, if they had any problems, the tax collectors, they'd call the militia. They'd call the threat of prison if they didn't pay. These men were despicable men. They were corrupt thieves, and they were sellouts to their people, these tax collectors. The other group was referred to as sinners, all right? And the sinners here, they were immoral people. Many of them could have been pig farmers. Remember, pigs back then were very unclean. They were divorced people. They were drunkards. They were people unpersuaded by Pharisees to keep all those laws and regulations every day. So these Pharisees had nothing to do with them. They called them sinners, all right? So this is the congregation that hated tax collectors and sinners, and they had come together to hear the Lord. You got these two different groups here. And so Jesus is going to talk to both of them about the parables here. The parable. He's going to get the three parables. He's going to talk to both groups. The sinners, the tax collectors, and the scribes here. All right. So these are parables were exactly for these people and for us today. So we're going to get three parables. All right. Verse 3. So then he told them this parable saying, "What man among you, if he had 100 sheep, has lost one of them, and does not leave 99 in the open pasture to go after the one which was lost until he finds it? Then he has found it," he says, "he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to him, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost.' I tell you the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So the first story here, the first parable, this shepherd, he's got 100 sheep. Now, I don't know how he counted 100 sheep every day. And that'd be hard to do. You know, 1, 2, 3, oh, that went 3, 4, 5. I'd be all lost. But his job is to keep care of these sheep. And he had to make sure 100 sheep were there each night when he left. And so he counts 99. And so I'm sure he counts several times. Let me count again. Did I make a mistake? 1, 2, 3, 4, 99. All right, he counts several times. And he's got a missing sheep. And so he leaves the 99 sheep there alone. And goes after that one missing sheep. Goes look through the woods, calling. I don't know how to call sheep. I only call it. He looked for the woods, fat sheep, over and over. Everywhere he found it, he finally found that sheep. and excited. He was rejoicing. He took that sheep, put him on his shoulders, and began to bring him home. And he was singing and rejoicing as he came back with that one sheep back. All right, the next story, the lost coin. Verse 8. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me! I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Next story. She loses a coin. She has 10 coins. Now, the coin, they said, was worth about a day's wage. So you figure maybe $10 an hour, $80, $100 nowadays. All right, a day's wage. She lost it. And she looked frantically through it. She began to get a broom and sweep and sweep and turn the light on, turn the candle on, light the candle bright, and look around for that coin, looking everywhere, and swept and swept until she finally found the coin. And she rejoiced, "Yes, I found it. Yes." Began to praise, and she said, "Rejoice for me." Calls her friends up, her neighbors, "Come on over, let's help us celebrate. We found the coin. I found it. I found it." All right? And then the last story, the prodigal son. You guys know the story well. Verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered together everything, and went on a journey to a distant country. There he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything on a severe famine occurred in that country, he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Remember back then, the swine were as low as you can go. They were dirty, nasty animals. Here this kid had everything. It was his dad's house. And now he's in a foreign country feeding pigs. And he would have gladly, verse 16, filled his stomach with the pods that swine were eating. He was starving. And no one was giving anything to him. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, look at these three parables. May your word be fulfilled in our lives. May we look at what they meant and how we can apply them to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we got three stories here. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. All right, so number one, first point, they were all lost. Pretty easy point, right? They're all lost. They were all lost. Psalms 119 said, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Before we became a Christ follower, a Christian, we were lost. We were lost without hope. Here's a good story here. A woman and her grandmother were sitting on their porch discussing a member of the family who has strayed away. "He's just no good," the young woman said. "He's completely untrustworthy, not to mention lazy." "Yes, he's bad," the grandmother said as she rocked him back in her rocker, "but Jesus loves him." "I'm not so sure of that," the young woman persisted. "Oh, yes," assured the older lady, "Jesus loves him." She rocked and thought for a few minutes, and then she added, "Of course, Jesus doesn't know him the way we do." Jesus does know us, and Jesus, we're all in need of a Savior. We're all lost, and Jesus knows us. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not even one." None of us are perfect. None of us are righteous, but we were lost. We needed a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory." At one point, we're all lost. We were like the lost sheep, needing a shepherd to find us. We're like the lost coins, needing the woman to find us. We're like the prodigal son, needing to return to the Father. At one point in our lives, we're all needing a lost, needing a Savior. Remember, the first step to salvation is realizing you're lost, that you need a Savior. Number two, because God's all in, he lets us choose our own way. Now, the sheep wandered away from the shepherd. He could have stayed with the flock, but he wandered away. Maybe he was eating grass and the flock came in or on saw some better grass, took off. Maybe he got stuck in some thorns, I don't know. But he wandered off. He could have came in. The prodigal son chose to leave the father. He chose his own way. And we get to choose which path we get to take. Think about Genesis 3, chapter 3. Remember the fall. The fall of man. You know, God and Eve, they chose. They chose. Well, let's go to verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for her food and pleasing to the eye, she also and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now Adam and Eve chose. God said, you can have any fruit in the whole garden, anything you want to eat. Everything's yours. Just don't touch this this tree here. Just don't touch this one. And they chose to sin against God. Now we choose. Because God loves us, he gives us choice. We can choose to follow him or walk away and lose our way and be lost. We choose. Number three, because God's all in, he searches for us. He searches for us. You know, you hear all the time, well, I was searching for God. I was searching for this. No, we don't search for God. God searched for us. God came after us. God put things in our lives to draw us to him. He searches for us. Ezekiel 34:11 says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. God himself searches for us. He seeks us out. He is after us. Come back to the flock. He searches for us lost. You know, we hear a lot of time about seekers come to the church. They're seeking God. But no, God is seeking them. God is seeking after us. And God sought after you. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He seeks us. He's after us. God came to seek us. In the first parable, that was lost. He had 100 sheep and one was lost. So one out of 100, what percentage is that, you mathematicians? 1%, right? It was worth 1%. You know, actually, if you lost that sheep, would have been that big of a deal? 1% a loss? He lost 1%. And so, but yet he searched for that one sheep. He kept looking and searching for that one sheep till he found him. He left the other 99 and searched that one sheep. And the woman that lost the coin, she had 10 coins. She lost one. What percentage would that be, Miss Laura? She's a math teacher. 10%, right? All right, that coin is worth 10% of her fortune, 10% of her worth. And she searched until she found that 10%. She looked, left everything uncovered, looked until she found it, and she was celebrating. And the last parable, the lost son was priceless to the father, wasn't he? He was his son. He was worth everything. He was worth everything to his son. He was more valuable than anything else he owned. And it was glad when he came back. Lois Chaney said this in her book. She wrote, God is no fool. Yea, I have heard people say that God forgives, but God is no fool. And you know that if God is no fool, then how could he ever accept you as having been foolish as you have? And she's wrong. God does accept us. God does forgive us. God is no fool, but yet he does love us. He does accept us. The good news, the fact that God's no fool, is that he really does love us. And he searches for us, and he's after us to come home, to come to him. And he gladly forgives us. No matter how you feel, whether you think you're 1 in 100 or 1 out of 10 or you're invaluable, God searches for you. God thinks you're invaluable. God loves you so much. He's actively seeking you out. He's putting things in your life to get your attention, and he's not giving up on you. And he's calling you home. In fact, he's given up everything to seek you out, hasn't he? Like the shepherd who left the 99 to search for the one. Like the woman who left the 9 to search for the one. Jesus left the glories of heaven to search for you. He came as a baby, as a child, born, lived a perfect life to seek you out. Jesus died on the cross for you to seek you out. The Bible said he could have called 10,000 angels to get him off that cross, destroyed the world, but he came to seek us out. Now, Jesus went all in for us, didn't he? He went all in. He laid down everything on that cross. He was all in and gave up everything. He took the weight of sin upon himself for us. He took our punishment for us.
He is all in for us. Luke 19:10 once again says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." And today, if you don't know him, he's seeking after you. If you've strayed away and you struggle, God is seeking you to come back to him. He seeks for you. He wants you back. Last point. Because God's all in, he celebrates the lost when they're found. Verse 7 said, "I tell you the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who do not need repentance." Verse 10, "I tell you the same way, there is joy in heaven, the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents." Remember when the shepherd found the sheep, he put it on his shoulder and he celebrated. He said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep." He told his neighbors, "Rejoice." The woman, when she found the silver coin, what'd she do? She went and told all her friends, right? "Rejoice with me, I found the coin which is lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Of course, the story of the prodigal son. He rejoiced and he had a big party, a celebration. Kill the calf to celebrate. "My son, I thought he was dead. He's returned to me. Let's celebrate." No matter what you've been through this week's been a tough week for me personally. I didn't tell everybody the story, but Friday, Chuck was here. I appreciate, where's Chuck at? I appreciate Chuck the last 4 days. He's been here every day this week working hard, and he's really been a blessing to this church and giving his time and his brain so his church helped get everything back going again. And Friday, we were here trying to fix the projector, and I was frustrated. I was up on that ladder. One thing about me, I hate heights. And I climb, and Chuck gets up there. He has no fear. But I said, "Chuck, you're not getting up there. Let me get up there." I'm up here. My legs are shaking, and I'm holding on. My hands are sweaty. I'm getting away from this 12-foot ladder, trying to reach that projector, get it going, trying to fix it. And we couldn't get it going. We tried everything we could. Tim was helping us, and we couldn't get it going. I think it may have been shot as well. And it was frustrating. So I'm pulling out of the parking lot. I was like, "Lord, what's going on? This week's been terrible. Everything, one thing after another." And I'm pulling out, and my brain starts working. I'm thinking about the projector. And I was thinking, "Oh, I got one in the youth room we can put up here for the service." I'm thinking, "I'm going to tell Chuck why he's over here." So I'm backing out, thinking about the projector, and I back into a parent's car out here in the front. I said, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." Nobody was in the car. Everybody was fine. I was like, "Lord, have mercy." I'm thinking about that, and I got to go find the lady, and it didn't do any damage to my car. I had a little scratch on her car and had to do a report and all that stuff and give her my insurance. Like, "Lord, it rains, it pours." So one thing after another. But no matter what kind of week you've gone through, God loves you. God loves me. God's seeking us out. All right? If you're a Christian, you've been struggling your faith. Maybe you slipped away. Maybe you fallen like you should. Then come home today. Come home. And that's what these altars are for, to come home. The prodigal son came home. Came home. And God celebrated. If you're here today and you don't know the everlasting love, if you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. Come, these altars are here for. We're going to have an old-fashioned invitation today. Kind of old-fashioned service today. We're going to have an old-fashioned invitation. We're going to sing a song invitation. If you want to come and pray at these altars, say, "You know, Lord, I just want to spend time with you." That's what these altars are for. You know, growing up, many times I've seen many of our church members, I spent many time at these altars praying, the kid growing up. It's something special when you come to an altar and pray. You take an act of faith when you come down this altar and you're from and pour out heart to God. I can't explain it, but it's something mystical about when you come to the altars and pray, and I feel like, and for me it is. And so these altars are open. This Lord's going to come up now, and then we'll sing an invitation. If you want to just come pray these altars, if you have accepted the Lord, you want to come today and accept the Lord, if you want to join the church, wherever God's leading you, we're going to have a time of invitation, a time of song. Come down to these altars and give your heart to God. All right? We're all lost in need of a Savior. God loves us so much that he gives us a choice to accept him. He loves us so much that he's seeking after us. He loves us so much that he'll celebrate when we come home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And God, how you seek after us. God, they were sinners in the room and tax collectors in the room. Lord, the people thought they were the lowest of the lowest, but you sought after them, Father. You wanted after them. You're after us in our hearts because you love us so much. God, you're all in. Your love is all in for us. You've given everything for us. And Lord, I pray we'll give back to you. Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.